Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We're going to talk about the Sunshine Baseball League this morning. The Major League Baseball is starting to wind down. The Sunshine Baseball League just wound down, and we're going to talk about the season, what is provided by the Sunshine Baseball League, and just how the community can get involved. Mike Zitz and Dennis Rapkins here this morning. Good morning, guys. Good to have you here.
Hi, Ted. Thanks for having us.
Good morning, Ted.
Mike, you are the at least for the what was it the 18 and what was the age limit of the league where you coached in?
We have a 18 under division, 13 under, and 10 and under.
Well, you were the champions in the 18 and under league.
Yeah.
You had a powerhouse team. And how many championships is this for you now? It's at least two, isn't it?
Well, going back to semi-pro, I think we had 8 state championship with the Fredericksburg semi-pro team. And with this league, I don't know, 2 or 3. It's not ideal to have somebody who's the president of a league or one of the people running it to coach. But realistically, you don't have too many people who are independently wealthy retirees who step up and spend a lot of time doing things. It's usually people who have kids and are coaching.
Well, it was fun to watch you. It was fun to watch you manage, and it was fun just knowing your love of baseball and just the fundamentals that your kids have. The Sunshine Baseball League, to describe what it is for people that may not be aware, because it is really a jewel in this community.
Well, it's another baseball is another thing where Doris Buffett has had a big impact in our community. She put up a $1 million challenge grant to build Sunshine Ballpark. I think it was in 2000. Was it 2013?
I think so, yeah.
And it's a great facility. It's artificial turf. It's really beautiful. When you walk in there, you've been there, you feel uplifted.
Oh, yeah.
And I tell the kids all the time, you're so lucky to have these kind of fields to play on. We were always picking up rocks when I was a kid before a game.
Yeah.
So she started that, and she put it in at Bragg Hill in a neighborhood that's kind of a low-income neighborhood. And the reason for that was she wanted to reach those kids, or low-income families, and mentor them and build up their self-esteem. And the whole concept is based on having nice uniforms and announcing and music and concessions and hot dogs. And making it a real event and making the kids feel special when they walk up to the plate and our announcers announce their name. You can see their shoulders kind of straighten up and their heads lift up.
It's big stuff.
It's really good. And baseball is a summer game, as Dennis can tell you. In recent years, people have come to think of it as being something you do in March and April. Also travel baseball. In one way, it's a really good thing. I wish that when I was a kid, they had that. But at the same time, there's no way my family could afford it. And baseball is becoming kind of a white, upper middle class sport, like tennis used to be in the 50s, which is very sad to me. And you even look at the major league teams. Dennis and I are Giants fans, and they brought up a young player this week. And I realized, my God, that's the only African-American player they have on the team. And you think about how important Jackie Robinson was to America, and you watch Ken Burns's baseball series.
Mm-hmm.
He and Branch Rickey kind of sparked a sea change in attitudes about race in America. And I just hate to see that, but you know what he accomplished kind of fade away. A couple of years ago, you were there. We brought in his daughter, Sharon Robinson, to talk to the kids, and some kids from Germanic Community College. So that's something we want to return to it being a kids from all walks of life playing. And we have kids who are elite players, and we have kids whose families are really well off, and we have kids who have played very little or they're just learning, and it works pretty well, surprisingly.
Dennis, I saw both the 18 and under, and I saw some of the younger kids play this summer, and just the enthusiasm and the fun that they all had out there. It was and like Mike said, the facility at the Sunshine Ballpark is just unparalleled. And this we're lucky to have this in this community.
Absolutely. And again, hats off to Mike and his wife Lisa, who devote untold amount of time and energy to making this possible. There are other volunteers that help, but it's just unbelievable what they do. But it's again, they do it for the kids, and the game of baseball speaks for itself. And it used to be where you would learn baseball from your friends in the neighborhood and that sort of thing, and that's just not done anymore for a variety of reasons. There's two-income families where both parents have to work, and kids after school have so many other, whether it's after-school daycare and so forth. And that used to be when kids were out playing baseball mm-hmm. and that sort of thing, and that's where they learned the game. And I think in many families, it wasn't the case with me, but you played catch with your father or somebody like that in the backyard and that sort of thing, and that was very commonplace. Again, there are so many other options now, from video games to cell phones and so forth. But now kids really, what we're trying to do is have them learn the game, bring them into the game, socialize them into the game. This is something that's completely different. It's from the bygone era.
Oh, it is. And that was fun to see, just all the different ages that they're really enthused about baseball.
Yeah, Ted, you were there for the championship game, which is the 18-under championship game. We play at Walker Grant Middle School, where James Monroe High School plays its home games. And I think you saw what was going on there in terms of bonding
on
the team and the level of enthusiasm and the fun, the sheer fun of it. They were having a ball and carrying on and laughing in the dugout. We have kids dancing in the dugouts between innings to the music that's being played. I can't tell you what a good feeling it is to see that.
And at the end of the championship game, both teams came together. There was genuine affection for both teams, and to
Ted,
see that.
Ted took a really great picture. He was there at the game of two players, one from the Giants and one from the Nationals, hugging at the end of the game.
Yeah, that was right after the last out.
Yeah.
There was there wasn't any dejection. It was just congratulations, and it was the sportsmanship was great to see.
It's really special. I don't want to say it's always like that, because there are moments where people are frustrated, but there's something really special going on there.
Right, and this is, this is the environment that's being promoted in Sunshine Baseball League, but it is a sort of thing that baseball by definition is it's a team concept wrapped within, then there's the combination of the one-on-one showdown between the pitcher mm-hmm. and the batter, but at the same time, the rest, on defense, working together as a team, teamwork is so important, and there's a bonding process that goes on in baseball that people might not appreciate.
SunshineBaseball.net is the website to get more information and to see what we're talking about. SunshineBaseball.net. Mike Sitz here, Dennis Rapkins here. Before we get out of here this morning, we're going to relive one of the greatest moments in this show's history, and Dennis was part of it. And we're going to relive that moment at some point this morning in this hour. More on the Sunshine Baseball League coming up on News Talk 1230 WFV.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
The Sunshine Baseball League, our focus this morning. Dennis Rapkins and Mike Sitz here this morning from the Sunshine Baseball League. Mike, how many kids did you have in the league this year? I know when we last talked, I think you were thinking it was going to be around 300.
It was over 300, and we about a third of those were on scholarships, which means like they're low-income families.
Yeah.
And part of the purpose of the league, which was conceived by Doris Buffett, is that we give a chance to kids who can't afford to pay fees. Even our fees are pretty low compared to most. But as we were talking about in the last segment, travel baseball has kind of taken over, and that's something that not a whole lot of people can afford. It can cost thousands of dollars
yeah.
a year. So, we're trying to provide a chance for the low-income kids and also for the kids from middle-class and upper-middle-class families. We have those, too, and elite players, along with players who have some experience but don't play travel ball, and kids who are just starting out. And it works surprisingly well. You see the kids. At one point, I was worried whether you got kids who play travel ball too are going to be frustrated with the kids who are less experienced or look down on them, and they haven't at all. They've actually helped them. They take them under their wing and help them. So
wow.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Des, when we were talking, just about in the last segment, when you were talking about, how kids used to play all the time. The other thing I think that's really sad, and I always think about it this time of year, this was the time of year when I was in school, I always looked forward to being able to come home and watch baseball playoff games in the afternoon. I remember watching the Reds and the Mets and the A's and the Orioles, and all those games are on in the afternoon, and it's not like that anymore. Games are on late at night, and I there's where I think is another thing of where I used to watch a lot of baseball, especially in October. With the playoffs and the World Series now, everything's at night, and I would never been allowed to stay up that late to watch some of these games.
No, that's a great point, Ted. I can say that even the most fanatical teenage, young teen, probably some of them may have never even seen a World Series game. I mean,
yeah.
if they don't start until 9 o'clock East Coast time and mm-hmm. so forth. And so, the structure, I mean, obviously baseball is a business and there are other reasons why
yep.
this is the case. On the flip side, of course, now with ESPN and so forth, those sort of shows, kids can see a sick double play. They can see the top
yeah.
10 plays and
yeah.
that sort of thing. They can be exposed to it. But that's not really learning the game. You learn the game by playing the game and watching the game. As I said, really, it's the way I learned it, and I think was very commonplace. You mm-hmm. you went out there with your peers, and you learned what a tagging up on a fly ball was, that sort of thing. I mean, how else do you learn that? And then even the in the deeper level, the sort of things, ball four. If it's a wild pitch and a ball four, you can go to second base. These are the sorts of things in the game that you learn from your peers. But as you said, Ted, the game is, for a variety of reasons, there's just the learning experience, the exposure. It's much different than we were kids.
It's really interesting to me that when we were kids, you left the house in the summertime at maybe 9 o'clock in the morning, and you came back before dark, and
yeah.
we would play pickup games one after another, sometimes get 15 at bats in a day, every day.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen anymore, and I think part of it has to do with what Dennis was talking about with video games and kids socializing online instead of really getting together. Part of that has to do with the unfortunate fact that parents rightfully are concerned about their kids being out of the house and possibly being kidnapped or having something bad
yeah.
happen. But it doesn't happen anymore, so I'm continually amazed by the kids who do know all the subtleties of baseball and have developed their skills. But again, I don't mean to be a bummer, but a lot of that ends up being their parents paying somebody to train them, somebody to work with them. And that's good too, to have that. Like Ernie Baker, who played on my semi-pro team, played for the St. Louis Cardinals, the AAA level, really knowledgeable guy. He's helped my son Jay a lot and hundreds of other kids in the community. And that's great that he does that, but not everybody can afford to pay for lessons. So that's part of what we're trying to do with the Sunshine Baseball League as much as possible, is kind of bring those kids along whose families can't afford that or just don't want to pay. And that's understandable too.
It is the sort of thing, like when we were kids, I remember in the 1960s and 1970s that The idea was when World Series games, for example, were on. This is how my initial exposure to baseball and the World Series is. We brought our transistor radios to school during that time, and it was the sort of thing that certainly not everybody in the classroom did, but it was kind of, and from what I understand and talking from with kids from other schools and so forth, this was fairly commonplace.
It was.
And it became kind of a cool thing to do, and of course now that would never be done.
No, I can remember in the Game 5 of the American League Championship Series, 1972, it was the A's and the Tigers, Game 5. And in listening to that game, we listened to it in school. We listened to him that afternoon. Reggie Jackson scored the winning run and got hurt. And I can vividly remember sitting there in class and having that on. And it was. But you're right. It was a different time. And there are other options out there now. But no, I getting my base. You'd get a new baseball glove and breaking it in and everything. And that's what was exciting about seeing Mike when I saw. When I saw earlier some of the younger kids playing in their leagues and saw a couple of games, just seeing the parent involvement was really exciting too. That the parents were just as into the game as the kids who were playing it were.
Yeah, when Doris and I initially talked about this, part of the idea of the concessions and the hot dogs and all that was to try to make it a more of a family thing, and we've had some success at that. So you're right, yeah.
So, and just to see that.
Right. No, and Ted, it was interesting you picked up on that because, again, the sort of thing we try to emphasize is that, look, you cheer for your own team and that sort of thing. Cheer for a good play by the other team, too. Yeah. You know, but by any means, you know, don't cheer when the other team makes an error or something like that. The kid feels bad enough as it is. So that's the kind of environment we're trying to promote.
Yeah, I mean, well, we are emphasizing fun and learning and mentoring and building up self-esteem. That doesn't mean that it's not competitive. I think it is pretty competitive. And I think some people have a idea that it's not that, or it's developmental to the point where it's not really worth doing. I don't think that's true. And that kind of irks me a little bit. I coach in the Stafford Baseball League too, and that's a pretty good reputation. And I think the level of play is on a par with the Stafford Baseball League.
No, I was very impressed with it all. Because I went and all I knew was what we had talked about. I had never actually seen and to see just the younger kids on a Saturday, and I stayed for two games. I saw two games, and it was very competitive. And I went away thinking this is really a special league.
Some of those eight to ten games and 11 to 13 year old games are really exciting. I mean, they're really well played. The 13-under championship game was 3-2, and it was a walk-off with the winning team scoring a run on the runner slid under the tag. It was bang, bang, play at the plate to win the championship. It's fun, and it's competitive, and it's exciting all at the same time.
Getting that balance between, and I think this achieves it very well, that is the secret to, I think, Sunshine Baseball League, getting the balance between the travel players and players who've been highly trained. And at the same time, the whole purpose, the fundamental reason for the league to begin with, to reach out to underserved kids, achieving that mission is, I feel very good about what we're doing.
Not to really, I know I'm sorry if I'm bashing travel ball, because it's good for those who can afford it, at least for some. But my son Jay played travel 1 year, and that was like a job. It wasn't, honestly, it was not fun. And he asked me if he could stop doing it. We had to, we get up at 6 o'clock in the morning every Saturday and Sunday and drive down to Petersburg or someplace like that. And I didn't really see a lot of fun there. I mean, what we try to do like is make it an experience that's exciting and fun and makes the kids feel good about themselves at the same time. And in doing that, it doesn't mean it's like a participation trophy kind of thing, but we have the announcing and the music and electronic scoreboard going all the time and concessions to make it seem special to the kids and make them feel special.
No, what you said about Travel League is my kids in the different sports they played, travel league was never an option because of the cost and because of the travel. Yeah. And to be able to have what you provide here, I think just for the kids who are going to play high school baseball or just want to play baseball, this is really a great alternative.
Yeah, and you mentioned high school baseball. One of our missions is to help the James Monroe High School baseball program, which has been kind of down for a while. And part of that has to do with not enough kids in the city playing ball, especially not the low-income kids. We want to get those kids out, and doing that, that's going to help. And Tony Wishard, who's the coach at James Monroe High School, is fantastic. He's so knowledgeable. He loves those kids. He's so upbeat with them, so supportive. We want to do everything we can to help him.
When we come back, we're going to talk about what's ahead and just the how businesses and individuals can help financially the Sunshine Baseball League. Mike Zitz is here. Dennis Rapkin's here. SunshineBaseball.net is the website, SunshineBaseball.net. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA coming up on 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Shoup.
Baseball, our focus this morning. Mike Zitz, the president of the Sunshine Baseball League, here along with Dennis Rapkins, who's on the board. SunshineBaseball.net is where you can get all kinds of information. Facebook too. Just type in Sunshine Baseball League, and you'll get there and see just some great pictures. And Mike, what I like what you do with the Sunshine Baseball League is, I mean, you do really treat each game. You have multiple pictures from games that I know both you and your wife a lot of times are taking them. But, you know, you can go to the Facebook page and, you know, see how the team did the other night. It's like going to the Nationals Facebook page.
Some games we actually do inning-by-inning updates and pictures. And my wife, Lisa Ferreira, is the unsung hero of the league. I don't think many people realize how many hours she does a fantastic job, too.
She was there. Dennis, you can appreciate this one. The younger games that I went to one Saturday, I didn't want to tell Mike. I was just going to go and go low key, and she spotted me and found me and thanked me for being there. But then I went back for a second game and thought, well, she was there for the first. You know, she was there in the morning. She was back again in the afternoon. So like you said, there is a real commitment with Mike and his wife for this league.
There would be no again. To make Doris's dream possible, Doris Buffett's dream possible, it wouldn't be happening without Mike and Lisa. What Lisa does behind the scenes in terms of managing all of the administrative things, and you can't. But you know, again, I've been on the board of directors of various baseball leagues, and you've got a board that's all of these responsibilities are divvied up.
Yeah.
Lisa, I don't know how she clones herself, but she does a great job.
And she keeps a secret because I said to her, don't tell Mike I was here. And so she didn't. So
she has integrity too.
Lisa and Fred German are sort of the faces of the league, which is a good thing because I'm grumpy and scary looking old guy. But I think Dennis needs to tell us what really bothers him about Steven Strasburg. We were talking about it at the break.
Okay. Well, look, I'm as Mike said, I'm a Giants fan, but the Nationals have always, since they came to town, Giants, my childhood team. And since the Nationals came to town, they are my they are the other team I follow and root for and so forth. And they're having a great season and so forth. And I don't know how many of our local residents are regular Nationals fans, but those that are, I'm sure that when you when you stand up and give somebody like Steven Strasburg a standing ovation after a magnificent seven innings of 100 pitches, he's emptied the tank, he's given it all, he walks off the field, everybody's standing, giving him a standing ovation, and he doesn't tip his hat.
Yeah.
I don't, again, this is a baseball tradition that I thought was still, there's still so many things in baseball that are carryover. You don't have to be old school to be able to appreciate. And that's the sort of thing that, again, the Nationals have been criticized as of late this season because their attendance is down compared to other contending teams and their own attendance in the past. And they're various reasons why they got off to such a slow start. They've got worst bullpen imaginable and so forth, despite it, and still, despite their it looks like hopefully they're going to be a wild card team. But that is the sort of thing where after then they had this series in New York where the Mets fans were just, it was like a college football game. It was like a carnival type atmosphere. And Strasburg said after the game, gee, I wish our fans would do something like that. It would really help us. And Rendon has made the same sort of comment. Well, these are two very low key players.
Very.
And again, I have to say, maybe in Washington, we've just got more of a former of low key sort of fans in everyday games. Now in the playoffs and so forth, despite our the Nationals never winning a first round game, I think our fans are as loud as any in the playoffs, but on a day-to-day basis. So anyway, this is one thing I was just throwing out during the break. It's kind of about Strasburg. I kind of being an old school guy himself, kind of keeps to himself, isn't a big celebratory type of guy. Unlike Bryce Harper, who I am not unhappy to see leave Washington, and I hope he enjoys his stay in Philadelphia, but. Anyway, so the Strasburg thing, I wish that's one tradition.
Glad you got that off your chest.
Well, thank you.
Ted Williams never tipped his cap, but.
The baseball historian here.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I really think the Nationals, something's changed, and something was missing in past years. They had all this talent, but they didn't have chemistry, and this year I think they do, and I think things are going to be different this year. I probably just jinxed them by saying that.
Yeah.
What is scary is, again, the scenario that they've set themselves up for. The Braves, people don't appreciate. I think the Braves are, they don't have the record, quite the record that the Dodgers do, but the people don't appreciate the Braves, how good they are, and they deserve to win the division. But the Nationals now are in the sort of situation where it's going to be a sudden death.
One game.
Assuming they make it that far, and they still have plenty of games to play. I mean, there are teams within shouting distance. It could change. But one game, and hopefully it's at home, but still one game, and that's just to be able to play the Dodgers, which I happen to think they'll match up very well against.
Yeah. Yeah, no. You talked to the Cubs last year about that one game. They had it at home and lost it. So you know, when you play all those games to play one game.
I think when you see something like the comeback, was it Tuesday night that they had in the ninth inning, that shows that something special is happening.
Yeah,
that things are
they're
a different team this year.
That Tuesday night game, 11-10, where the Nationals were down 10-4.
That was just
in the
a
ninth
classic.
Inning. I made my wife watch the replay of that game because I just wanted what I pointed out to her at the start of the inning, and I didn't tell her what happened. She didn't realize what happened, but I said, look very carefully at the people who are still there. And again, it was a sparse crowd because the Metro closed, and this is another reason why, you know, problems on weekdays going to a baseball game in Washington. But I said, look at the faces of the people. You see, the probability of a Mets victory was 99.7% at that point. But these people are hanging in there not only for the possibility of what could happen, because baseball, no clock, no foul shots, no penalties, and so forth, the unique aspect of baseball. But I said, look at their faces. These are special people, the dedication, that they're sticking it out. And in this case, they were rewarded. It was just unbelievable. As Mike said, the Nationals have a chemistry. And I like to think, as a Giants fan, it's when from the time they brought in Parra, who seems to be the team leader in chemistry and so forth, from the Giants, from our favorite team, of course.
Yeah.
So we're hoping for good things.
I'm always one to leave early. And I know if after the Mets scored 5 in the ninth, I would have been one of those people listening to it on the way home.
The Nationals were doing so poorly early in the season. I think that you can see what a team's prospects are by looking at their marketing. And at one point, instead of saying, come out and see Anthony Rendon, come out and see Max Scherzer, they were saying, come out so your kids can learn about teamwork. You know, when you're doing that, saying, come out, let us teach your kids about teamwork, that shows you're in trouble. But they've turned it around. I think they deserve a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, okay, they definitely do. Sunshine Baseball League, our focus, Dennis Rapkins, Mike Zitz here this morning. We talked about this the last time you were here, and between now and when the season starts again next summer, we'll talk about this. But there are financial needs that are out there, Mike, and for the league to continue and to grow, businesses and individuals can get involved.
What's different about our league is the emphasis on kids from low income families playing free. And getting mentoring. And part of the vision that Doris Buffett had for this was that they would play for free. They'd get nice uniforms. There'd be announcing. There'd be music between innings. There'd be hot dogs. At one point, we were even giving free hot dogs to everybody. We're not doing that anymore because we can't afford it anymore. And what's happened is Doris is 91 now. She's retired from philanthropy and the Sunshine Lady Foundation is winding down what it's doing. It's wrapping things up. So we no longer get support from them. That doesn't mean they don't believe in us, but they're doing that all over the country with the different projects they have. So to keep it going, to keep her legacy here going, and to help those kids and to mentor them, we talked to them about going to college. We have kids from the Germanic Community College, Todd Academy, that Doris started to and funded. They're low-income kids. They look like these kids we're trying to help. And they talk to these kids, and their parents talk to these kids. And they say, yeah, I went to Germana. I'm transferring to Princeton, literally. I'm transferring to West Point, literally. I've got a full scholarship at William & Mary after going to Germana. And these kids, they're not that much older, and they look like the kids they're talking to and the families. And you can see a light bulb coming on. That's a possibility for me. And that's what it's really all about, making these kids, lifting them up, helping them. Yeah. Like I said, it's not all low-income families. There's some middle-class and upper middle-class families. But that's what it's really all about. And to continue doing that, we need help from the community. We've been getting about a third of our players are on scholarships. We've gotten a lot of support from people like, the Fredericksburg host, Lions Club has stepped up to the plate just recently, and they're making a long-term commitment. The Kappas, Ann and Ron Holmes, Kathleen and John Izzo, Agnes Hendricks with First Place Realty, they've helped us out big time, along with Buster Nelson, State Farm Insurance, Northern Roots Consulting, Bagby, I can't even pronounce that, and Good Pasture Civil Engineers and Land Surveyors. And even the King George Little League has helped us. And Pohanka, Honda, Fredericksburg, Colonial Internal Medicine. We've gotten help, but we need more. And we really kind of need a long-term commitments like the Fredericksburg Host Lions Clubs is giving us, because we can't go into the season not knowing if we're going to have enough to pay the bills as it goes along. And that's pretty much what it's been like.
Yeah.
Because we're not saying, everybody who plays, you need to write us a check up front. If we did that, we wouldn't have to worry about this. If we're going to help these kids who need our help, we need support.
Boy, and that's the thing. Dennis, just to have the financial stability, you can do so many more things, and not to have to wonder. And that's why there's enough people here to get involved.
Yes. And again, under the conditions that under Mike's vision, the league has actually expanded in terms of age group, meaning bringing in older kids up to 18 this year. And Mike has just said up to 19 next year. I'll tell you, as somebody who's coached baseball for decades and is very familiar with what's going on across the country, let alone locally, this sort of thing just doesn't happen with that age group. Specifically, this is the age group when, again, as we know, part of Doris's vision was give these kids something quality time, you know, do something healthy with their time. But this just isn't done. It's just the opposite. Whatever is available to kids and playing baseball in those older age groups is actually ending. That has been the trend. But through Sunshine Baseball League, it's just the opposite direction. So to do that, to bring that vision to fruition, we just can't stress enough the importance of getting some more help.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably unhealthy, the fascination I have with baseball, I really care about it a great deal, deeply. It's a family tradition. It's been passed down from generation to generation. But I find it very sad that when a kid turns 14, they think that's the end of baseball for them. So one of the things we're really emphasizing is getting kids out who are like from 14 to 19. That, like next year, we're going up to 19.
Yeah.
And getting those kids. And to me, it kind of makes my heart swell to see how happy. We were at a championship game for 18 and under. How happy those kids are, because they thought they were done playing baseball.
Yeah.
And they're out there playing good ball and excited and happy, and it couldn't be better.
What struck me when I saw both games, whether it was the championship game or the younger kids at the Sunshine Baseball, at the Sunshine Ballpark, was just the fact in thinking that, you know, next year we're going to have this stadium and the Fredericksburg team and that stadium, and from everything I've looked at, it's just going to be just spectacular. And to have a minor league team here is exciting. But it's equally exciting to just see these kids and the facility that Sunshine Baseball, the ballpark, is at. And those two together, it's exciting stuff.
I'm glad you brought the new minor league team up. Seth Silber has told me he wants to work with us with the Sunshine Baseball League. He said our what's next year going to be our 19 and under team, 19 and under league can play its championship game at their new stadium.
Wow.
Next year. They're going to come out to Walker Grant Middle School, where our older kids play, and where the Jamesboro High School team and Walker Grant Middle School team play, and build a new mound out there for us. They're going to send players out to the clinics that we have to work with kids. It's going to be a great relationship. It's just one more way that having a minor league team is going to be good for Fredericksburg and the area.
That's a great point, Mike. The idea of, again, having the professional team in Fredericksburg now. When I was a kid, I remember being 10 years old. I'm from Portland, Oregon, and we had a minor league team, the Portland Beavers. And what we used to do as kids, a couple of us, we would sneak down to get down to the clubhouse. We couldn't get in the clubhouse, but we could stand outside. We could, you know, jump over some gates and so forth. And we'd stand up there, and we would talk to some of the players. We would get to, you know, some of the players we'd ask for autographs. One time I asked for an autograph I was 10 years old. I asked for an autograph from this really old guy on the Tulsa Oilers, and I knew he wasn't a player, but so, and then he signed and I looked at it and it said, Warren Spahn. Now,
what?
Some people listening may realize Warren Spahn, who he is. And at the time, it kind of registered to me that, gee, this is, wait a minute, Warren Spahn. I went home and, you know, looked him up. And, of course, there wasn't an internet then and so forth. But the point is, just in talking to the players, and 90%, 95% of the time, they were so nice to us and so supportive. And for Seth Silber to come out and say that he'll bring players, I'd say that's to some of these events, in addition to helping us in so many ways. It's really important.
Yeah. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We'll wrap it up. Mike Zitz is here. Dennis Rapkin's here. We'll talk about how you can get involved with them and who to contact and how to find out more with the Sunshine Baseball League when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Dennis Rapkins, Mike Zitz here from Sunshine Baseball League, sunshinebaseball.net. I've got to do this before. I've wanted to do this. Dennis, you're one of my favorite guests. You both are. But this just cemented it. This was in, I think was July 2nd. It was towards the end of the show. And we got talking just about, or Dennis will, I don't have to say anything more. This is what happened, a classic moment in this show.
You have to be thinking ahead. It's a tremendous balance between the two. For example, very basic baseball. Nobody on, and batter at the plate hits a ground ball, the third baseman. Everybody has an assignment to that. The third baseman fields the ball, throws the first baseman. First baseman catches the ball on first base. Second baseman goes to second base to cover the base. Shortstop backs up the third baseman who fielded the ball. The catcher runs down to first base to back up the throw to first base. The pitcher goes to third base to back up in case there's a play there. The left fielder backs up the shortstop and the third baseman. The center fielder, in case there's a play at second, goes to second base. The right fielder runs behind first base to back up the throw to first base. If you're not moving, you're not actually playing the game the right way.
Wow. That says it all. That's a great promotional there for the Sunshine Baseball
League. Believe it or not, that was a very controversial thing to say.
It was. I received a lot of feedback. Both one of the guests in the studio at the time, George Christofrotis, who's a real baseball guy, questioned me about where I was some of my decisions there. But anyway, Ted, for you to say it was a great moment, the show, that's a real honor. But, you know, I listen to your show all the time with all the guests you have. You've got a great show. But I've never known you to be a purveyor of hyperbole for you to say it was a great moment.
That was a great moment. As it was taking place, I thought, this is just fantastic. Because you had no notes and you could just see that you were imagining the whole thing together.
It was like who's on first.
Yes, yes, it was. It was a who's on first moment here.
Mike and I share is Mike's aforementioned perhaps unhealthy relationship to baseball, but it could be worse.
Oh, definitely. Mike, if people do want to get involved and they're thinking about it, or they know somebody who might be able to help the financial end of this, what's the best way to find out more about this and get in touch with you?
Well, you can go to the Sunshine Baseball League Facebook page to sunshinebaseball.net. That's right. I get that wrong. Sunshinebaseball.net, our homepage. Or you can call me at 540-846-5163, 846-5163.
Just the fact the 300 kids had something to do this summer, that's really the big story here.
The league's growing fast, and we can do a lot more with some financial support. With more financial support, we can reach a lot more kids.
540-846-5163 if you want to contact Mike directly. 540-846-5163 or sunshinebaseball.net. Just going to see the games, and I didn't know any of the kids out there. And in both games I saw were entertaining, and the kids were having fun, all sizes. And it's fun. And again, we said earlier, it's a jewel in the community. It is.
And again, it's free for the kids who can't afford it. Doris Buffett started this. She's 91 years old now. She's no longer involved in philanthropy. We need help to keep her dream going of helping these kids.
And with minor league baseball coming, this is a nice component to the whole thing. And as far as Fredericksburg will be a baseball hotbed.
And thank you so much, Ted, for what you're doing to help with this.
Thank you, Ted.
It's fun having you guys come in and just talking baseball. Only a couple of seconds. Who wins the World Series this year, Dennis?
I've got a full stomach, but I'll say the Yankees.
How about you? Who do you think, Mike?
I kind of have a feeling it's going to be the Nationals.
Wow. See, I'm going to go with the Astros.
I think the Astros are the best team, and the Yankees could do it too. But a lot of it has to do with chemistry and getting hot at the right time, and I think the Nationals have it.
We will talk again soon. Thank you so much, and thank you for what you both do in the community, because what happens with the Sunshine Baseball League is really good stuff. And Dennis, next time we want to talk more scenarios with you and more great moments. Sunshinebaseball.net. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
And I'd like for you to think about God for a moment. We Christians often talk about living a life of faith, particularly faith in God. But as a famous pastor said, at the beginning of every act of faith, there is often a seed of fear. We rely on faith when there doesn't seem to be any way out of a